Wonderful. Good evening, everyone. My name's Nick. I'm the Associate Vicar here at All Saints. Great to have you here this evening. Now, I read this week that apparently Argos did a survey trying to figure out what are the worst Christmas presents people had ever received. And about 2,000 people did the survey. Any guesses as to what the most frequent bad Christmas present was? Shout it out. Any guesses? Socks. Yeah, socks was up there. Any others? Yeah, hankies, yeah, okay. I'll tell you, the top one, at 28% of those that took part, was dead plants. Dead plants. Now, other ones that were right up there, at 22%, loo roll. That is a rubbish present. But my favourite, my personal favourite, at 21%, was a present that they had given the other person the year before. Hands up. Has anyone ever given you a present that you'd given them before? Yeah, a couple of us. Yeah. So look, if you're thinking of giving any of those things away this Christmas, maybe don't. But look, what I want to do just this evening for a few minutes now, I want us just to think about two presents that I think every single one of us here in this room actually does want to receive. Two presents that are on offer to us at Christmas. Now, they both come at the end of a sentence that I'm about to show you. It's a sentence that's taken from the Bible. It was written by a man that spent 3 years with Jesus Christ, and it's this man reflecting on Jesus' birth. And these two presents, see if you can spot them, they come right at the end of the sentence. Here's the sentence taken from John chapter 1. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." I wonder, do you spot the two presents there that are on offer to each of us? Grace and truth. Two presents God wants to give us this Christmas. Truth that we can know and grace that we can receive. We're just going to spend a couple minutes looking at each of those in turn now, if that's all right. So first of all, number one, truth that you can know. Truth that you can know. He came full of truth. Claim here in this verse is that that first Christmas in Jesus, God came bringing us truth that we can know. Now, look, I don't know what you think about this whole idea of truth. I think that when I talk to people, we tend to divide the world into things that we can be certain about and then the sort of deeper questions of life. We're not so sure of. So things that we can be certain about, things here and now that we can see and touch and know, things in history. Like here we are, we can know that we're all in the room this evening. I can know that that light is way too bright. things that we can see and know. But then beyond that, there's the deeper stuff. Do you know what I mean? Questions of meaning. Questions about purpose. Questions about God. And when it comes to that stuff, we can't know. No, we sort of have to guess. In fact, there was this guy called a philosopher called Lessing. He said it's like there's a big ditch, and we're on this side, and we can only know the things that we can sort of see and touch. It's like there's a massive ditch that we can't reach over, and on the other side lie all those deeper questions, and we can't know for sure. Problem is, we do long to know that deeper stuff, don't we? And we do long. Every one of us, we have those moments where we ask those deeper questions, don't we? Questions like, does my life matter? Like, what is the point of all of this? Is there more to life? Is there, maybe, behind everything, a God? We do long to know that stuff, don't we? We thirst for it. Cicero said that man is by his nature a truth-seeking being. We want to know that stuff. And so the remarkable thing here in this verse, the claim is that stuff that lies beyond, that truth that lies beyond, has stepped into history, what can be seen and touched and known here and now. The claim here in this verse is that the truth that lies beyond the universe has come in so that you and I can actually know. Oh, dear, as Jesus comes to us full of truth, truth about life, truth about meaning, truth about purpose, truth that we can know, truth that you can rely on, truth that you can build your life on. That is the first present on offer to us at Christmas, truth that we can know. I don't know what you make of that, but as presents go, it's better than loo roll, isn't it? It's better than loo roll. That's the first thing, truth that we can know. But second thing, it says here, grace. He came full of truth and full of grace. Grace that can be received. Now, look, what does grace mean? It's one of my favorite words. In fact, my youngest daughter, she's 3 years old. Her middle name is Grace. Because it means this. It means undeserved kindness. Undeserved kindness. Look, stupid example. Okay, many, many years ago, I was in the car with my mum and dad on a long car journey on holiday. And my fiancé at the time, wife now, was sitting behind me in the car. And I was in a terrible mood, okay? I was properly grumpy, I was being rude, I was being snappy, I was being unpleasant to everyone in the car. And this moment came where my wife, she just leant round and just gave me a gentle squeeze on the shoulder. Not to criticise, it wasn't like, ugh, you know, although I deserved that. It wasn't that, it was just a gentle to say, I'm here, I love you, it's okay, I'm on your side. And it was so undeserved. That little moment of undeserved kindness, it just melted my heart and changed my mood. Grace, undeserved kindness. I don't know about you, but for me, as I look around society and our culture at the moment, I feel like we're lacking a bit of grace, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? With the rise of cancel culture, the way that people treat each other online, if you disagree with someone, if someone gets something wrong, what do? We attack and blame. There's not very much grace around us in our wider culture. In fact, one commentator, he's not a Christian, he's an atheist actually as it goes, but he said this, he observed, since everybody errs in their lifetime, there must be in any healthy person in society the ability to forgive. Today, we seem to live in a world where guilt and shame are more at hand than ever, and we have no means of redemption, no grace. I wonder what you make of that. Look, I think this idea, this grace, it's not just something that sort of society needs out there. I actually think it's something that we each need at a personal level, isn't it? Grace. If you will, just consider yourself for a moment. Of course, for each of us, there are many things in our lives that we're rightly very proud of. But that's not the whole picture. We don't tend to like sort of looking at our darker sides. But I suppose that everybody here will have parts of their life and events from their past and aspects of our character of which we're profoundly ashamed. And look, if there is a God who stands behind everything that one day we'll meet and give an account of our lives to, like that is a problem. Notice in this verse, Jesus comes full of grace, full of grace and truth. The claim is that that truth that lies beyond the universe, when it comes, it doesn't just show us the truth, it comes to touch our lives with grace. The idea is that in Jesus Christ will one day die on the cross to pay the price for everything you and I have done wrong, so that we can be welcomed back to God forever, so that that truth that lies beyond the universe can reach into our lives and touch us with his grace. With his undeserved kindness. Now look, as Nate would tell you, as any Christian here in the room would tell you, receiving that is the best thing in the world. Knowing the undeserved kindness of God in your life is better than anything. That one commentator put it this way when he was talking about like what it's like to receive grace. He said it like this. We're not promised that it'll be as if our bad stuff never happened. The story of your life will still be the story of your life with all the kinks and twists that you gave it. God won't take those away or your life wouldn't be your life. But he can take away from us the guilt and the fear so that we can start again free in hope. So that we are free to try again and fail again better. He can overwhelm our propensity to screw up with grace. Grace is the forgiveness we can't earn. It's the father weeping on the roadside. It's the tragedy accepted with open arms and somehow turned to good. It's what Jesus' death achieved. Grace, the undeserved kindness of God. This Christmas, God is offering us each two presents. Truth that we can genuinely know and grace that we can receive. Now look, if you're new to Christian things or you're just looking in, I don't expect to convince you of all of that in one brief talk. But maybe you want to investigate further. And I would encourage you to do that. If you'd like to do that, we're running this thing in the new year called Honest Questions, a few evenings where we think about the big questions of life and these claims, this claim that there's the truth that we can actually know and this grace that we can receive. Why not come along and investigate that claim a bit more with us? Maybe it's the best present you'll ever receive. We're going to hear more about that in just a while. But for now, as I finish, I would love to invite you. We're going to have a duet now, Mary, Did You Know? Can I invite you to use this time just to pause and reflect? Christmas is busy, right? Don't often have much time just to sit and think. Can I encourage you, just take a moment now to reflect. Reflect on these deeper questions, meaning, purpose, God. Reflect on this idea of truth and grace. Take a moment now. Enjoy the music. And reflect. Thank you very much.